Aye, remove the gum.
Okay.
No, yeah, off my beer glass.
Well, keep it for later.
There's fucking... It's not one per day. You're not 10-year-old anymore.
I am. You can see this bedpost. It's got like 4 bits of chewing gum stuck to it.
Oh.
As I go over my bed and I forget about it.
Wake up in the middle of the night choking.
I've done that once.
Oh.
Heather, I use fucking... Heather, fucking I use says that you got chewing gum.
You're moving bit into. I thought that was her asking. You're moving trying to pick it up. No, no! Bit aside, Jesus! Ready to get this on?
Let's go.
Hello and welcome to episode 153 of Podcast on Fire, Scottish edition. Yeah. I'm your host, Stuart Sutherland, and joining me today, Andy Walker.
Yeah, usual.
Same old, same old.
Yep. Nothing new here. But yeah. I'm still one of these hats.
Still not a video podcast.
I don't care. I need to kind of fucking my head's one for a change instead of living in your fucking ice cave.
Right, we're recording, the heating's on.
Right,
stop greeting.
It'll take a wee while to heat up.
So, you are listening to Podcast on Fire, the flagship podcast of the Podcast on Fire network. This show is the premier show for Hong Kong cinema discussion on the Podcast on Fire network.
Yes.
Can I say Podcast on Fire one more time?
You can say it as much as you want, as long as it doesn't have fucking tweets in it.
So yes, just a little reminder that all Hong Kong cinema discussion should be located on the Podcast on Fire podcast.
Yeah.
I'm not correcting anyone. It's not like they're talking...
If you're listening to anything else, it's wrong.
Aye, it's not like we're trying to slip a wee Korean in. Although, I guess we are next week.
Oh. Hey, stop spying it.
We told them in last week's episode.
Oh,
fuck.
Aye. So we did.
So, today we are completing our 4-part special on the Once Upon a Time in China series, discussing Once Upon a Time in China 6, aka Once Upon a Time in China and America.
But it wasn't in China.
And, of course, Iron Monkey from 1993.
Yeah.
Sorry, the prequel Wong Fei Hung movie. On to the first film.
Yes. Americans.
In America.
China's
in America.
China's in America.
So, Once Upon a Time in China and America from 1997, directed by Sammo Hung. Troy Harrick's not helming this one.
Did anyone write it?
Didn't even write it.
No?
Nah, there is 5 credits for the screenplay writers, which is like quite a lot. I would think quite a lot of writers for a film. I don't know if it's a case of maybe 2 guys wrote it and then it got rewritten.
And then passed on somebody and rewrote it again.
Aye, aye. So, got a list of these writers here. Let's see, there is Saito Chuk Hon, a long time writer for Sammo Hung.
Right.
Doing films like Pantyhose Hero and. Yeah, that is a film. Slickers vs. Killers. So, it seems to be like part of Sammo's team, essentially.
Yeah.
Shut Mei Yi. Funnily, more of an actor than a writer, has starred in over 40 films compared to the 3 movies he's actually wrote.
Yeah.
So, take him what his inclusion was. Sharon Hoy, a previous writer on Young and Dangerous 2.
Yeah.
Which would have been 1996, done the year before. Philip Kwok, not the same as the actor. This is Philip Kwok Wai Chung, a writer on Thunderbolt and Don't Give a Damn.
Is that a film or is that just your opinion?
That is a film with Yin Yu. And last writer, So Man Sing, Robotrix, and a Gigolo in Horror 2.
Fucking hell, man. Who would have come up with these names?
Fuck knows.
Gigolo and whore. Well, what happened to Gigolo and whore 1? Who wrote that?
Probably not him.
Who's the mastermind behind that title?
Mm-hmm. So, let's see. I'll go right to the plot. I've copied two plots. The first plot I have taken, I think it was from IMDb. And upon reading it after watching the movie, it doesn't really tell you fuck all about the movie.
No.
So I've got two plots here. This was the original plot I've got. This story is set in both Hong Kong and the US. So goes the US to a... Aye. So, as in the character so, not the way to start a sentence. So goes to the US to start a martial arts school. Around this time, many Chinese people were sold off to the US railroad companies and were brutally treated by the Americans under harsh working conditions. Thus, the American workers' hatred towards the Chinese immigrants is high. As a result, Dr. So gets in trouble with the Americans and the mob and calls in Master Wong for help.
What?
Different film.
That's like a prequel different to this film.
Mm. So, that is the first plot I got and is very away from the story.
Yeah.
Second plot has been taken from the back cover of the UK DVD. Wong Fei-Hung, Jet Li, reprising his role, together with his fiance. played by Rosamund Kwan, and his devoted sidekick, the only one that stuck around.
Yeah.
His devoted sidekick, Seven, played by Young Pan Pan.
What? Where does this name come from?
For some reason, the UK DVDs retitled the character altogether.
They did mention something about Seven.
I think that was...
Or was that just to do...
That bad joke later on.
I just mind them saying, I'm Seven.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So, obviously, Seven really is just Clubfoot, played by Hung Yan Yan, not Young Pan Pan.
Young Pan Pan.
Mm-hmm. So they find themselves in the Wild West in search of new horizons. However, an early confrontation with Native American Indians renders Wong Fei-Hung unconscious and separated from his group. When he comes to, he finds that he has lost his memory, but the one thing that is still clear in his mind is the ability to fight with lightning speed.
Yeah.
The warrior tribe are amazed by his unique skills and offer him respect and friendship by calling him Yellow.
Yellow, you Chinese man, you Yellow.
So, I guess, not really a racist. To follow the colour.
Can other minorities be racist to other minorities?
Surely.
I don't know.
It's like black people making fun of Mexicans.
Yeah, but... It's the hell, I hate racism. They understand it. It's like, we could be racist to them, but they could be racist to us. Why is that, Stuart? Intellectual gentleman, yeah.
I don't know.
Why are we allowed to be called honkies? Why is that allowed?
It's because we're just these simple crackers that take it.
Why?
We just take it lying
down. I don't like to be called cracker.
I know, but fucking no one's ever called you cracker.
You just did. You just did. You didn't care how much it hurts.
Sharp. So, unable to communicate, he manages through sign language to persuade them to help him find his true identity, leading to countless action-packed encounters on his path to be reunited with his friends.
Hmm.
That is the other one that still leaves another...
A whole half the film that
yes, this is sort of Wong's half of the story.
Yeah.
But it really goes on to what we should really be talking about is... Basically back to the original plot, but more depth, how the Americans look down on the Chinese.
Yeah.
And how the government is corrupt.
Yeah, the mayor, the evil mayor.
Yes, the evil mustached mayor.
Oh, the worst dash ever.
Who just, like, has a weird band of weird-looking thugs.
No, I think that was just like a random...
group he hired.
Outlaws that he hired to...
rob banks on his behalf.
Yeah, so he could...
Spoiler alerts, by the way.
Yeah, fuck the Chinese over.
Mm-hmm. So, yes. 1997 had been a 4 or 5 year break from Jet Li.
Yeah.
Betraying, Choi Hark's Wong Fei-Hung, other than Wong Jing's Wong Fei-Hung. And I guess, well, obviously the big changes is the director. That we've got Sammo Hung this time instead of Choi Hark.
Yeah.
And the second unit director was Lau Carwing, who is the younger brother of Lau Garlung, who is like big Shaw Brothers player. Lau Carwing could actually be seen in the very end of the film when they bring back Lion Dancing.
Oh god, yeah.
Lau Garwing's the drummer that shouts at the very opening of the scene.
Right.
He's like, hi! And then gets into drumming mode. So, and again, they've rotated Bucktooth So to another random TV actor. Yeah,
they made him a pussy again.
Mm-hmm. But with the English name Powered Chan, why is it the skimpiest bloke?
I know.
Like, Bucktooth So is played by actor Powered Chan Kwok Bong. So
Kwok Bong.
So yes, Chan Kwok Bong. But is there he's got two English names, Jerry Chan or Powered Chan.
Powered Chan, you can't use
unless
can't
he's went from fucking beanpole to fucking beefcake.
Yeah.
Essentially, no one should be calling this man fucking
Powered
Chan. Chan.
Doesn't make sense.
Like, when looking through his credits, like, he has starred in a lot of films, but for all these films listed, he doesn't have a name. So he is, like, essentially the fucking supporting actor to the end, essentially. He does have, obviously, looking up on IMDb, they rated this as his most known film.
Yeah.
So right there, he's not really that well known, and he does seem to, he does, there is some sort of method to this madness, as Vincent Zhao's Wong Fei Hung got turned into a TV series.
Alright.
Power Chan was the Bucktooth So from that TV series. So it does sort of make sense to have him go into that movie to be Bucktooth So if Roger Kwok and Jackie Chung were busy.
Yeah.
But I did like the idea that Bucktooth So's basically owning his own poachy lamb in America.
That was pretty cool.
So it was just like basically him just spreading the word of Wong Fei Hung, and they all keep mentioning about him going there to like introduce martial arts and things like that, but that's hardly touched upon. It's more, this one's described as more of a comical film. Like, obviously Once Upon a Time in China 1, serious. This is more comical in the sense that there are these running gags about Wong Fei Hung and his boring ass speeches. So, and
his drones on.
And of course Bucktooth So and his comical teeth.
I thought they were real this time.
I didn't think this actor would have to be Bucktooth So in every film then. That is definitely a fake set that man
the
is
one
carrying.
Is bad. The one as fake as Five.
Aye. Roger's set were quite out there. So obviously with this being set in America, majority of the filming took place in Texas. Yep. That is where most of the filming took place. It says between Hong Kong and Texas. So I think obviously one of the new cast members were introduced to in this film is like Richard Doom playing Uncle Han. And all these scenes with like lots of Chinese people,
yeah.
I think is more maybe like a sound stage in Hong Kong.
But
like all the exteriors were probably filmed in Texas. And when it came to scenes where they're in gambling dens or in prison and all things like that, they're all probably back at like the Golden Harvest studio.
We're more likely.
So it just seems to be a just the way it goes. So technically it is in China and America. But obviously one of the things with Richard Doom being included in the cast, I find it funny that he's, for most films he's in, he's always gambling. Just Richard Doom just being
is gambling in River City?
I think he was working in a chippy, was he not? I remember the day of reading the Sun newspaper, it had a 2-page spread about Richard Doom auditioning for River City. And everyone freaked the fuck out when he walked in, and people didn't have a clue that his resume probably rolled off the table with the amount of movies and TV shows that he starred in.
Right.
I think I actually have a video online of him with like his cameo appearance in Red Dwarf. It was the one where it looked like the more, sort of the more desperate Red Dwarf series where they sort of were breaking the fourth wall. Like the characters realise the show is being cancelled, so they go to Earth to find the writers to convince them to keep writing the show. So they did the obvious and they land on the set of Coronation Street and find Craig Charles on set with fucking Steve McDonald and all these guys. And then Steve McDonald's freaking out and said, I just saw your pass with the Red Dwarf set. And they'll come in trying to convince the actor Craig Charles to get in touch with the writers. And it just seems like a really silly storyline. But at one point, they do like source Richard Doom and try and get information out of him.
Why?
I think.
Is he like a pretending to be one of the writers?
He's a character of the universe who's. I think they were saying his character is sort of resembling someone from Blade Runner. It's like they were like kind of doing a scene that was similar for the Blade Runner movie, which I could barely remember.
God, I haven't even seen it.
No, so. Back to Once Upon a Time in China and America.
Yeah. I didn't know where that was going.
I know. It was just Richard Doom has done a lot of British television.
Yeah.
Even those fucking insurance ads where it was, it might be an RAC car insurance, and he was working the cash register in a shop, and it's like a football player comes in and he's got a tiny little car outside and he's wondering, are you going to fucking wreck that car? And then all this nonsense about RAC car insurance and so like he keeps appearing, and I think he's maybe done a couple of adverts because, just fuck knows, pays the mortgage. I'm pretty sure he is based in London now. I think he has got just a home over here.
Oh, has he?
Aye. That's that. So
talk that to death.
So, Once Upon a Time in China and America was released on the 1st of February 1997.
Yes.
So that was. In the opening weekend of the Chinese New Year, and it said it was facing stiff competition with films going alongside new films from Jackie Chan and Stephen Chow.
Mm-hmm.
Jackie Chan at that time was releasing, I think it was Mr. Nice Guy.
Right.
And Stephen Chow was, I think it's the All's Well That Ends Well 97, which is sort of like the Lunar New Year movies that they do. Like they done them a few years ago, I think it was All's Well That Ends Well 12, like 2012.
Oh.
Then done one a year after, calling it number 13. And it's always the one where like maybe Donnie Yen will show up for a cameo appearance, or there's like famous people show up for the Easy Payday, and just some harmless comedy, essentially. So
it had a hard.
It did. Blowing. Like there was some big films coming out at that point, but it did pull in a decent box office.
Yeah.
It pulled in 30,200,000 Hong Kong dollars.
That's not bad, that's what we made in the last
time. Yep, it is a 25 million increase from part 5. And to be a little bit more specific, it was a 2.5 million increase from the last Jet Li, Once Upon a Time in China, which was part 3.
Yeah.
So it's definitely sort of like given that fucking resurgence, like that one last boost to basically end the franchise.
Because one obviously,
exactly. Luckily, it was in the sense that this made some big money, right? Let's churn out 3 more Chinese westerns.
Yeah.
But I think it's just probably the right time of year. Jet Li came back to the series, Sammo directing it.
Yeah.
It was the new setting, there was America this time, so it might have just been enough things to clue in enough people's interests.
Do you have the? Oh, you maybe not have what it was. What the two films that it was up against? What did they make?
I could look that up for you.
Just to can if it just see, beat any of them,
like in a top 3 situation.
Yeah, just to see what the market's like then, because 30 million maybe look a lot, but it's maybe not very much.
Okay, well. Jackie Chan got 45 million for Mr. Nice Guy.
Right. So, it's second so far. Still too much, big one.
All's Well, Ends Well 97 got 40 million.
Oh.
So, It was third place.
Did come third, but I was actually thinking that the two films would maybe go hit like 70, 80.
Right, aye.
In comparison, kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not that bad.
That might actually just be like really good for that time, so maybe them getting 30 million was obviously a really good thing for the franchise, at least.
Yeah.
I think that might have rivaled basically the amount of money the first or second movie. I think the second movie took around 30.
Yeah.
Of course, the movie is wire heavy once again. Not to the point where it's really annoying, but it's
those
just
bits that you noticed it. But
aye, like obviously there is a lot of what we call them, Western characters. There's a lot of white actors.
Yeah.
In this movie, the most notable one is Billy, who is basically fucking Jason Vanderbeek from Dawson's Creek. But really, he's played by I think actor turned stunt director, yeah. Jeff Wolf.
Wolfie.
Yes. So he plays the role of Billy, which you probably, of all the silly references these movies make, it may as well be Billy the Kid.
I was going to say Billy Gunn.
Billy Gunn? No.
No reference at all.
No. So, what the fuck? Okay, they have blonde hair, but that's it.
No.
Maybe my great-great-great-grandson will be maybe a 5-time tag team champion in the future. Essentially, Jeff Wolf might have just been one of these like white screen fighters that go around and gets cast usually as the bad guy. But this time, they've reversed and had him as the good guy who's on the side of the Chinese.
Yeah.
Like, obviously, Wong Fei Hung and he save him from basically dying of thirst in the desert. They find him and give him a lift back to town.
And give him some water.
And he's sort of introduced, like this is his first notion of the Americans looking down on the Chinese.
Yeah.
But he was never there for that. He was brought into it being helped by the Chinese, so he sees him in a different light than like the crooked mayor and the sheriff, all the people that basically look down on the Chinese. So, with him and his sharp shooting skills, I'm just getting a flashback to him committing suicide in the desert, and he decides to stick both pistols in his mouth.
Yeah.
Like, there's no, like,
just in case one
for
doesn't
suicide want terms, or even if they want to call that one the John Woo, like Joe pistols.
Maybe the crossed arms.
I reckon if maybe white doves flew past him as he goes for it in slow motion.
It was just like a small fucking church in the background.
Nicolas Cage in the background taking faces off.
He's going, ah! He's screaming for some reason.
Killing a Scientologist. Stealing his face.
And his sexuality.
Oh, and his hairpiece. So he could replace his own.
And his wife.
Oh.
I don't know that's true.
I don't know that either. We're going too far. We're going into, we're getting in too far into the cage.
We could be caught for libel.
Yes.
That's so bad.
Okay, back to the subject.
Yeah.
So, actually, that's most of my wee trivia points out of the road.
Mm-hmm.
But what was your thoughts of the film?
I quite liked it. I thought it was good. The comedy was good.
Aye, it was the. Sometimes comedy is hit and miss with Hong Kong films where it's too cheesy or they'll turn to the camera and pull funny faces, but
this was too bad. It was the fact that when at the start they're sitting eating beans all the time, they're not used to it.
Aye.
Clubfoot says he's got diarrhea and they kick it up.
Aye.
He needs rice.
Mm-hmm. They're not used to the basically the American diet.
Yeah. And the first big fight with the Indians, that was a good fight, I thought.
Mm-hmm. Aye, because Jet Li.
And
yeah, the new flaming arrow.
Yeah.
Aye, because Jet Li, obviously, he gets separated when their carriage falls into the water.
Yeah.
He's found by the Native Americans, and they're getting taunted by a rival group of Indians.
Yeah, a rival clan.
Mm-hmm. And basically, that's when Jet Li's realizes his lightning fast skills are still intact, but he doesn't know who the hell he is.
When he was able to beat up a black guy dressed as an Indian.
Aye, aye. Probably Canadians as well, but...
Probably.
And again, this is the one where everyone's all of a sudden speaking English. And of course, it would make sense now that they're in America.
Yeah.
But, like, we get to laugh at Jet Li's character's crazy English.
Aye, he tries it.
He
fails.
Mm-hmm. But I think that's obviously just comes into, like, the comedy aspect of it. So... But I have to admit, this was my first time watching the movie as well. It had always been, you know, widely available, but I just never came across a copy, like, in those bargain bin hunts and things like that. I've just never found a copy to purchase.
Yeah.
So, I have to admit, watching film, I guess it was sort of like, exactly as I'd imagine it to be.
Yeah.
Like, I knew the serious tone was gone by now. Samuel would provide some decent action to the movie, and I was thinking it wasn't going to be an amazing story, but it was harmless.
Right.
I wasn't watching it going, ah, this is really just pissing me off. Or it wasn't a bad movie.
Yeah.
So it's definitely like I was always under this preconceived notion that it was a bad film.
Mm-hmm.
I remember when I first got into Asian cinema and I'd seen like the Jet Li trilogy of Once Upon a Time in China, and then I knew there was Once Upon a Time in China in America, and Obdi just shat on it essentially because it's not the first three movies.
Yeah,
it's a lighter approach. It's comical. It's like a wee mixture of things. It's like the amnesia storyline and fighting Indians is like Shanghai Noon, and it's although this might actually predate Shanghai Noon, possibly. I think there could be maybe a year or two between them.
Yeah,
but it's harmless.
Yeah,
it goes in with the silly wee jokes with like obviously Billy the Kid. I think it's always with like historical movies, they always want to try and reference like this was happening around the time that something big in history was happening.
Yeah.
Where like Billy the Kid's character was talking about being the seventh son of his family.
Yeah.
And Wong Fei Hung was the 11th son of his family. Like, this is what he seems to be getting to. He says, we should open a store called 7-Eleven. And you're like...
No, it was Clubfoot.
Was it Clubfoot?
Uh-huh.
Right. So, like, just so that they came up with that silly gag, just so they could name drop, like, a future convenience store in the future. And that sort of rung bells with Shanghai Nights when it was Jackie Chan and Owen Wilson helping out a police officer who turns out to be Arthur Conan Doyle. Like the writer of all the Sherlock Holmes movies, and obviously Shanghai Nights lays it on thick, where Owen Wilson's character comes up with the name Sherlock Holmes, and that the author asked to take that name so he could inspire and write a crime series based on Owen Wilson and all this shit. And the same with the cheeky little English kid that was picking pockets and winding up Owen Wilson turns out to be Charlie Chaplin and things like that. Aye. It's like, it's just laying it on thick.
Aye.
So, it essentially, Once Upon a Time in China and America just sort of like has a watered down equivalent of these gags. It's also like the bloody Assassin's Creed games. Like, since it's set in Italy, who's the first person you bump into? Oh, fucking Leonardo da Vinci. It's fucking, oh yeah, it's like, this person helps fucking shape the world and all this nonsense.
Mm.
Or, in this case, help shape convenience stores.
Mm.
I don't think it's ran by, like, a sheriff and a Chinaman.
Yeah. Oh, maybe the Chinaman.
So, I think actually one of the funny points how everyone seems head over heels for Rose McGowan in the movie.
Mm. like Billy's after
that. When they find Clubfoot and Aunt E in the river, and Bucktooth So gets one of his men to rub the chest of Clubfoot to bring the water up, and all the men are volunteering to take turns to rub Aunt E's chest, and realizing at the very end of the movie there's a woman that arrives in the carriage, and everyone goes absolute mental and they all surround her and they're all wondering when they could see her, and she's talking about she only works certain nights and she takes the 14th or the 4th and 15th off each month. And I clicked. Essentially, this old woman is basically the town's knocking shop. She seems to be the only prostitute in Chinatown. That's why everyone's crowding her, wondering when she's available, and she talks about what her working hours. She's only got 2 nights off a month.
I thought it was just because Chinese women were banned in the city. So that's what the sheriff warned. So he said, remember, Chinese women aren't allowed in town.
No. Possibly I never picked up on that part, but it just gave me the impression they were just like one hooker and that's her coming back, and maybe back for the doctors. And basically fucking that was all the men fucking lining up, dicks bumping into each other waiting for their shot. Fucking a bunch of excited pack of dogs ready to fucking pounce on this old woman.
Oh, she was not anything.
Mm-hmm.
Like, just wrong.
Aye.
You fucking old ground.
But I guess all these poor old men just wanting to just stick it in the old pork bun.
That's just wrong. Pork bun, fucking.
So when it does come to action in the movie, we do get a decent fight out of, well, basically Jet Li's Wong Fei Hung, who at this time is the Native American Wong Fei Hung.
Yeah.
And he's basically sees an enemy in Clubfoot.
Yeah.
And they're set to a spar.
No, it wasn't. It was Clubfoot wanted to try and give him a bang on the head.
Oh, right. To bring
the memories back. So he started a fight with him.
Right, right.
Trying to help him remember.
Mm-hmm. But that leads him to getting
his ass kicked.
Yes. All over the shop. Even
like six different pairs of clothes on to try and pad the blows.
Some cunt's washing, stuffed up his top, still doesn't help him from getting his ass kicked.
Yeah.
And then obviously the main bad guys, really outside of the mayor and the corrupt government, is like the weird looking bandits.
The weirdest guy I've ever seen in my life.
Who at first I thought had like a Chinese leader.
Yeah.
Then I realised he's not really Chinese.
He's pretending to be Chinese.
I reckon if he's even pretending to be Chinese, like, he had that.
It's the eyebrows. He had the fucking Dick Wei eyebrows. He has to be trying to be Chinese.
He does resemble Dick Wei vaguely, but like he doesn't speak Cantonese.
No.
He just had this broad American accent.
Is that like the only way Chinese people can emphasise that he's evil?
What, big thick fuck off eyebrows and a mean tash?
Yeah,
possibly.
Well, the tash would probably be that he's a cowboy.
I guess.
And the eyebrows meaning he's evil.
I guess that could be bad guy 101.
Yeah.
Is mean or fucking emboldened eyebrows.
Yeah. I think seeing a guy like kicking fuck at a wolf and cutting himself to attract the wolf's tail.
Aye. That, I'm telling you, that echoed scenes out of Predator.
Where
the Indian walks onto the tree and starts cutting him, and does he not scream, come on! Come on! And just runs, and you hear sounds of laser guns going off.
Yeah.
And basically, them eating fucking screaming. Indian for tea.
Yeah.
So, Wong Fei Hung kind of meets his match in this weird looking bandit who just essentially could take a beating.
Yeah.
Not really good at fighting, doesn't have any special moves. He's got his little.
This wee fucking spawn.
Aye, which seems to be his only gimmick, I thought the fight should have ended when Owen Fayong just kicked the Spurns into his own legs.
Yeah. Although I thought that's what it was. I thought he was going to like tear his arteries in his legs or something.
Aye. Although maybe the guy's that fucking used to it because he's a tool. Like he's got his wee spiky boots every time he puts the boots on, he fucking cuts his other leg going, ah, fuck. I wish I wouldn't wear some stupid fucking shoes.
I don't know.
But it was the fucking cowboy bandit way.
I know, it's just, I don't understand them.
Mm-hmm. So, it's a good film. It's nothing to get really excited about, none to run out to the shops and buy a copy. It's a case of if like you see one in a car boot sale or a second hand shop, it's worth a watch.
Yeah, I'd watch it.
No, it's like an hour and a half.
Mm-hmm.
It's not there's a lot worse films out there.
Worse.
Like, even in this series, like,
don't watch four.
This is your number four. Then you have like a kind of a complete, well, a Jet Li quadrilogy.
You're making me say it wrong.
Quadrilogy.
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 Yes. No.
Tragically.
Oh, you fucking sucker.
So. When it comes to nominations, the awards for Once Upon a Time in China and America, it was nominated at the 1998 Hong Kong Film Awards for Best Action Choreography.
Aye. Who was the action choreographer? Samuel. He was the action choreographer as well as the director.
Yep. And he lost out.
Who did?
He lost out to Stephen Tung, Pirate Chung.
Pirate Chung, the one.
Pirate Chung was the action director for Downtown Torpedoes. The film starring Jordan Chan and Takashi Kenshiro, directed by Teddy Chen.
It's got folk in it.
I've not seen it, but I guess just a big action film. Yeah. One of the few things I know about that film was a member of the crew got killed in one of the scenes. Just like a real explosion on set, and I think maybe a car door basically killed a dude. This is also the height when people were like, making like doing action scenes on the fly, like not getting planning permission, like how we'd watched The American Werewolf in London and Piccadilly Square or Piccadilly Circus, and had all the big car scenes doing there. This is if they'd done it in Hong Kong but never told anyone about it and just quickly crashed all these vehicles
and filmed it and bolted
when the police showed up. So this happened quite a lot in Hong Kong. And I think that was basically they quickly rushed, done a controlled explosion. But amongst that explosion, a fucking bit of shrapnel shot out, hit a member of the crew.
Oh, right. It's just crew, wasn't he an actor?
No.
That's
all right, yeah. A man died.
He wasn't important.
He could have went on to great things, and they never got to know.
Mm.
So, the internet's response to Once Upon a Time in China and America, IMDb rated it 6.4 out of 10 based on 1,800 votes.
That's good.
Rotten Tomatoes, not yet rated.
Again.
So.
Rotten Tomatoes don't like anything over 3. They can't deal with films that are over 3.
Exactly. If it's not in the top, if it's not in the 3, don't bother asking.
Fuck Die Hard. The first 3 I've rated, but. Alright, fuck you.
Stop talking. Iron Monkey from 1993.
Alright.
The connection to this to the Once Upon a Time in China series is essentially it's like a big prequel. It's a story of like the juvenile Wong Fei Hung.
Yeah.
The original Chinese title for this film is essentially translates to Little Wong Fei Hung, Iron Monkey.
So it was like a. Like, is Little Wong Fei Hung, was that a series that Iron Monkey was like a
I don't sub? Think so. There could have been, but at that point in 1993, I think it was just a one-off. But the title was something like Sun In, Wong Fei Hung, then like Ti Mao. And I think Ti Mao was like the Iron Monkey.
Yeah.
It was basically this.
This is too much like fucking Diddy Mao.
Aye, it's not that. So, directed by Yin Wu Ping, known as famous action choreographer for Kill Bill movies, Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon, anything else you could fit on a movie poster, Matrix, Matrix movies. Screenplay by Choi Hark, Lau Tai Muk, known for Chinese Ghost Story 2. Elsa Tang, another one of Choi Hark's crew, who was a writer on Once Upon a Time in China 1 and 5. And Charco Tan is brought back into the picture. For his writing work on Once Upon a Time in China 2 and 3. Most recently, nowadays, he was a writer on Shaolin, the film starring Andy Lau. And had Jackie Chan as the chef. So, the cast of this movie obviously includes Yu Rongguang as Dr. Yang, aka the Iron Monkey. Donnie Yen comes in as Wong Keying, the father of Wong Fei Hung. Gene Wang, who obviously appeared in the Once Upon a Time in China series as Aunt May. She is played Miss Orchard. Orchid, whatever.
Isn't like a flower, the orchid.
I never said orchard.
You said it, the fucking disgusting. Orchard. Orchard, what the fuck's orchard?
Alright, Miss Ho.
That's
her own name.
You can't argue with that.
Angie Tang played Wong Fei Hung.
Yeah, little bitch.
So yes, that was like one of the big things when like you were reading up information after seeing the movie.
Yeah.
Like you find out it was actually a girl playing the role of Wong Fei Hung.
When was this released?
1993.
So she was 13. I looked
possibly.
She was born in 1980.
Right, aye.
Yeah.
Aye, and she has went on since then to win awards and tournaments regarding, I think it was like, Wushu, like the Hong Kong Legends platinum double disc DVD has footage of her winning awards at Wushu events and that.
Right.
So it's like she basically stuck with the martial arts.
Yeah.
When it comes to the that is our main cast there. So what I'll do is I'll take a step back and tell you the plot of the movie before detailing the bad guys.
Yeah.
I don't actually have the plot in front of me. Let's see if we could wing this one.
Oh, man.
So, basically, we have the corrupt government being plagued by the Iron Monkey, who is, like, the Chinese Robin Hood. Robin from the greedy officials who have 9 mistresses.
Giving
it to the poor people that can't afford shelter.
Can't afford an umbrella. They say, oh, it's raining. Give me some gold. How's that going to help? They
and even,
go and gamble.
Even smacking down the people who are enforcing child labour. Would prefer to feed their dogs rather than children.
Yeah, but how would we have our trainers today?
Shut your pass. So, the government are going absolute ballistic because the Iron Monkey is making a fool of them.
Aye.
So, they order in... Well, basically, they're being... Maybe
audited.
Not, audited, aye, that was basically what I was going to say. So an investigator is basically to come in and basically see...
Check the books and see how shit is getting run.
Aye, and obviously they're in a mad panic to get the Iron Monkey arrested before then. So they essentially go on the hunt, arresting anything monkey-related.
Mm-hmm.
So there's the old man with the dancing monkey, there's...
Yeah, a guy who's got an itch.
A guy who's got an itch, a guy that kind of looks like a monkey, a man that said the word monkey... They even had like a Pekin Opera troupe.
Yeah.
One of the guys from the troupe who had face painted of a monkey.
Yeah.
And heck, they even picked up Wong Keying and his son, daughter, Wong Fei Hung, because they fought back in the streets.
They thought his martial arts was good enough to be Iron Monkey.
Exactly. So, Wong Keying cuts a deal with the government official saying, I vow to catch the Iron Monkey. And basically the court decides to hold Wong Fei Hung hostage until he brings the Iron Monkey to the
justice.
Law. Aye. But he befriends a local doctor, Dr. Yang, who just happens to be the Iron Monkey.
Yeah, just coincidence.
It's almost as it's a film.
Aye.
Someone scripted these events together. Four people, actually. So that is basically the movie in a nutshell.
Aye.
The Iron Monkey and Wong Keying team together to basically Well, they easily save Wong Fei Hung.
Yeah.
He basically gets elves, so Dr. Yang takes him out of prison.
He gets a cough, so he gets released.
Mm-hmm. But the evil government official comes and basically rains hell.
Yeah.
Did you recognise the government investigator?
I did a wee bit. But
Iron Robian from Once Upon a Time in China 1.
Was it?
Mm-hmm. Yep. What's the name? Yen Shi Quan.
Yen Shi Quan.
Yep. So, it kind of had a full circle thing going on there because, obviously, first movie we had Jet Li fighting Yen Shi Quan.
Mm-hmm.
In the second movie, we had a scene shared between Yen Shi Quan and Donnie Yen.
Mm-hmm.
Like the passing of the torch with bad guys.
Yeah.
And then we had Jet Li fighting Donnie Yen.
Aye.
Now we have Donnie Yen fighting Yen Shi Quan.
Aye. So everybody's in a bit of everybody.
Aye, it's this big kung fu triangle.
Yeah.
That doesn't involve love.
You do need to draw it.
I just had to emphasise it.
Triangle.
It's the fact that I'm holding a pen and want to use it.
Aye.
So, the government investigator, his team involve the...
The ugly bitch.
Yes.
Who and was the guy that's got scratches.
The virgin witch or something, they were calling her. She is Fei Lai, an actress who's starred in very little movies. She was in this movie.
Aye.
Before then, she was in two Stephen Chow movies, the Royal Tramp films.
Aye.
Aye. So I don't think she'd done much.
No, was it?
IMDb have her listed for four. Really? Hong Kong Movie Database might have her in a couple more movies because they're more thorough.
Yeah.
So, but it looks like she never done much, really.
Right.
Whereas the scarred-faced assassin is a big Shaw Brothers player. I've dropped my pen. I'm scared now. The scarred-faced assassin is Hao Xiao.
Hao Xiao.
Aye. And he actually has, like, a monkey connection. He should have been arrested with the rest because he was one of the leads in Mad Monkey Kung Fu. He was the young student in that movie that got taught Mad Monkey Kung Fu.
Like
from
sitting there, his fucking feet scratching his ears.
Aye, scratching the ears, doing the jumps and the squeals. And sort of like
badly sounded monkey noises.
I think that might have been Yin Bu in Knockabout, where it's him and Sammo. He kind of had monkey kung fu.
And keeps
doing all that shit. Aye, so that definitely came for that one. But the Shaw Brothers movie, it was more or less just the crazy kung fu stances and them focusing heavily on the monkey.
Mm-hmm.
So, Iron Monkey was originally released in 1993. Box office, let's see, the opening weekend it made roughly about 7 million Hong Kong dollars in the box office.
Mm-hmm.
And as mentioned earlier, Quentin Tarantino showed an interest in this movie and basically guided it to a US release where it made a total of 14,600,000 at the box office.
Yeah.
So adding that all together for a movie that only made that only cost 2 million to make.
2 million Hong Kong dollars.
Aye.
Right.
So fucking swimming in it after US cinema release.
Uh-huh.
But actually, before I get too far into the trivia, I should ask you, what did you think of the Iron Monkey?
It was alright. I liked it better when I was like a teenager.
Mm-hmm.
Preferred it. It was like one of the first action films or something. And the action is a bit mental.
Yeah, you mean in like the cranking, where it's sped up a little?
Aye.
Mm-hmm. Sometimes. Yeah. I think that's usually the kind of the gripe that anyone has is like it's kind of fast forwarded a little bit too much.
Oh, when I was young, that was fun.
It's Fast and Furious.
Yeah, but now you can kind of tell.
Like
you see films that have fucking real gritty.
That people actually have the speed.
Yeah.
Whereas they're probably doing it at a decent pace, but it's just notched up a little bit
speed
further.
Speed it up a wee bit more. Just to look better.
Aye. And sometimes it just looks corny.
Yeah.
So.
But other than that, it's a good film.
Mm-hmm. It has like a good story to it. And I just like the idea of them having like their own sort of Chinese Robin Hood, essentially. I don't think there is really a running series of Iron Monkey movies.
No.
Like there is a sequel directed by Wu Ma that does star Donnie Yen, but there's no firm connection between the two.
Two, right.
There is older, I'm not sure if it's a Shaw Brothers movie, called The Iron Monkey, and that was Chen Kwan Tai, a Shaw Brothers actor, doing, I guess, monkey style, but
Nothing to do with
nothing to
Robin
do with
Hood.
this either. So it's like this one-off thing that might could have worked in a series. It could have been a thing for like the actor Yurong Wong to kind of do his like Wong Fei Hung series. He could have maybe done like the Avenger, the Adventures of the Iron Monkey.
You're going to see the Avengers, and it's like,
Like
oh
it could have been the Iron Monkey, like gets
no,
the Iron Monkey goes into like a lion dance competition. He has to fight off the White Lotus Clan, and
Iron
basically he shows up a week after Wong Fei Hung does all these places and
Man.
has
I
to
just
deal with the
try to
same
catch up with him.
problems.
Have you seen Wong Fei Hung? You seen Wong Fei Hung? I'll punch your puss.
You can't hit me, I'm a monkey. And just throws little
Throw
caricatures.
shit in the face.
It's when like we get to see like the young Wong Fei Hung escape from the clinic, and she's trying to raise money. Well, he's trying to raise money by
Drug
selling
dealer.
drugs, and he's conning people essentially by saying that the long life pills, that life-saving pills that's made me amazing at martial arts, that it's selling to the like, wee homeless children,
sweet lying bastard.
and they get he gets assaulted by a. Just a
Young,
group, a group of thugs.
it was the folk that was making the children work. It was a child labourer.
And there was this one line in it, how we were talking if there's any crossovers between the Iron Monkey and the Once Upon a Time in China films outside the Wong connection, essentially. There was one of the child labourers shouts out, "Who do you think you are?" And he's like, "I'm Wong Fei Hung. Who are you?" And he says, "I'm Chu Tim Pa." Instead of ba.
So
So
it
it could be like
related.
sometimes they do the subtitle thing where P's become B's and vice versa. So I reckon if it was a case of a young Chin, a young Chu Tien Ba, because this was done the same year as Once Upon a Time in China 3. So they were both came out that year, but it has this obviously that strange age difference where Wong Fei Hung was 13. They'd never done a. I don't think they
They
had
never
given
gave him an official
age
age.
in the film. And I reckon if it was just pre-setting Chu Timba, a one-off character, or to appear maybe in the next movie where they're all grown up and he happens to be the bastard in this movie as well.
Running about in a fucking mask.
So, so it could be, but. That's possibly just grasping at straws at that point to find proper connections between the two series.
And mine's better.
You're not going to talk about yours.
Why not? Because mine is right and yours is wrong.
Come back to me over that one.
I will.
I would like a documented report.
I will find it for you.
I will assess it. I'm turning into a paper plane and throw it, don't
I'll
you?
post it on the internet and get like loads of people to agree with me.
Go with that. Hi.
You jump off a building.
Oh.
You
It's terrible.
You cow.
So, when it comes to the Iron Monkey and me, my self-titled documentary that I'll be doing this year, The Iron Monkey and Me. I originally got hold of the Iron Monkey. Hang back just when we were doing like the hunt for Hong Kong Legends. I'd gotten a copy second hand out of Blockbusters, or maybe it was Global Video in the high street.
Leaving
aye
Global, I think.
aye aye when they were basically just selling off a bunch of old DVDs. They did have the Hong Kong Legends first release of it, because they released it twice. They released it originally in 2001, and I picked up like 2002, 3. So I picked up secondhand then, thought it was great. And there was, I don't think there was a Bay Logan commentary to it. So there was always this other information that you would hear on other commentaries from Bay Logan, that he at one point recorded an audio commentary with Donnie Yen on Iron Monkey, but just never got put on the DVD. So they went all out and re-released it in 2004, doing what they called the Double Disc Platinum
The
Edition.
Platinum Edition,
So, And that's when they got to include the audio commentary, and you get to hear how kind of smug Donnie Yen is.
Aww.
But I think that's what you get out of, like, big action movie stars. Like, they are probably quite...
Yeah.
Like, I think he was basically poking fun at Donnie Yen, at Bay Logan, said, why we're having to sit in here, talk about a movie, watch a movie, and drop facts. And he's just sort of giggling, saying, oh, you're so silly. This is just a normal day for me.
Huh.
And it's, oh, but you're so brilliant. You're doing this, that, and the next thing. He's like, aye.
Just, it's my time on the phone.
Ah, he's like, you're still paying me for this, right? So, it's a good DVD because I would say it's probably the best one to buy with all the special features about Angie San doing all her.
You get to see her.
There's interviews with everyone. So, behind the scenes, behind there's maybe like a modern day sort of documentary about it, where they're interviewing the cast and things like that, same with the directors. But when Quentin Tarantino got Miramax to release the movie in 2001 over in America, this became one of the famous movies that got butchered by Miramax.
Aye.
Where I think possibly, I reckon if it was, it doesn't have a set amount of time here, but I have a feeling maybe 20 minutes was cut out of the movie. I know then it would only be about an hour and 10, but they have a list of all the scenes here where they're saying as most Americans are unfamiliar with the story of Wong Fei Hung, his name was removed from the original Chinese title. Subtitles were tailored to diminish the political context of the story. Some scenes were trimmed to tone down the violence. Originally, some of the scenes had been sped up in places through under cranking. United States release slowed these down to the normal pace.
Yeah.
Several comedic scenes, particularly ones interspersed in fight scenes, were removed to give the fight scenes a more serious feel.
Mm-hmm.
Although such comedic devices are common in Hong Kong cinema, the editors felt that they might appear odd to American audiences. A new soundtrack was composed. They gave it a Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon style soundtrack, removing all Wong Fei Hung music, and just had just the old traditional Chinese instruments. New sound effects were put in to make it more realistic instead of the classic Hong Kong style sound effects of the sword clans and the kicks.
The
So that was like sort of one of the first things where people were like, they're butchering our movies. Well, our movies, the fans of Hong Kong cinema.
Yeah.
Would basically, this is the point where folk would start seeking original prints so they could see the true movie and things like that. It'd be the same with like Jet Li's Miramax movies, where they would retitle it to make it sound more approachable for like the US audience, rather than buying Fong Sayuk. It was called Jet Li's The Legend, and so it was just a little bit more appealing to some audiences.
Is it Twin Warrior the same?
Twin Warriors instead of Tai Chi Master. The Defender instead of Bodyguard from Beijing.
Was that what it was called?
I think so. I think they did retitle that one, The Defender. The Enforcer, which was My Father's a Hero. Or My Father the Hero. And I think that's that and the two Legend movies. I think that's like the most offensive ones. So, I think that Shaolin Soccer got sort of the treatment as well. They toned down some of the Chinese references, dubbed into English.
Yeah.
Gave it slogans like kick some grass, stop ass, and things like that. But I have to admit, I am a big Iron Monkey fan. Like, I think it was one of the premier movies that really showed you that Donnie Yen is like a badass martial artist. They may have been sped up, but you've seen like his full form, the jump kicks.
Yeah.
Like you could see the man could throw some moves. So it's definitely one of these movies which is always like I could easily watch it. It's not too long a movie, and
it's 90 minutes, I think.
Aye. And it's pretty, it doesn't dwell too long on things. And as I said, I love the character of Iron Monkey.
Yeah.
Iron Monkey.
Yeah,
they should, and the same with Mike. I love how they keep bringing back these four really dirty, sleazy monks.
Why?
Like, they were in at the beginning trying, like, it looks like this was the government's first attempt at stopping Iron Monkey. They said, right, we'll get Shaolin monks in. And this was after, like, they keep referencing, like, the burning of the Shaolin Temple and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
So these are, like, exiled monks, but they're just a bunch of pervy bastards, essentially.
They're like kind of monks that didn't quite, cut, like, make the grade.
Aye. So, and it's just, like, the scenes where they fight Miss Orchid.
Mm-hmm.
I got it right that time. And they're essentially just trying to rape the lassie. Like, they throw, like, ether powder.
Oh,
ether? Aye.
I don't think it was fucking white powder.
Aye.
Crack.
Basically enough to knock her off guard and for them to throw down and rip her top off and fucking get all super saiyan when they see flesh.
Aye.
They get all fucking high, like...
Saiyan.
Mm-hmm. Saying, oh, I fucked up.
Saiyan.
But it was great because they all got executed, like, quite viciously. Like, she slit one of their throats.
Yeah.
Did Wong Fei Hung kill one of them?
I don't think so.
And one of the other underrated characters was Master Fox, or Chief Fox, like the wee sergeant.
Uh-huh.
That was sort of like, he's one to do his job, he's one to catch the Iron Monkey, but he's not the bad guy. He's...
Mm-hmm.
Like, he could see the government he's working for is in shambles, and
he's been told to catch him, but he doesn't really want to, because he can't just...
He knows he's helping people, like, there's worse criminals out there, and, like, he kills one of the dirty monks. Hey, I think he cuts one of their heads clean off the shoulders.
Oh,
just like, just see the fucking rubber head fly off, fly off screen. Was that one during one of your sleepy moments?
Could have been.
But... one other thing I do need to pick up is the end fight. Like, that must have been a fucking pain in the ass to do, and maybe dangerous as hell, because obviously it's a heavy wire fight. It's sort of like what I could only guess is like some sort of drying green, that there's so many wooden poles in this courtyard, but it's all covered in wine and it gets set on fire, and they're basically fighting on top of the clothes poles whilst it's burning underneath them.
Mm-hmm.
And you see a lot of shots where, like, they're a person balancing on one foot. They could be easily supported with wires, but they're just flames all around them.
Yeah.
And for them to try and choreograph a fight and, like, just all the tricky wire work where they had dipped themselves down into the flame, then kicked themselves back up, and all the little balancing acts, and even the point where Donnie Yen catches one of the flaming logs and they slow down so you see Donnie Yen's hand grabbing the burning piece of wood, and like, they properly push it. Like, this is like, feel like they're pushing the boat suit for like one of these proper Wong Fei Hung fights.
Yeah.
Like, they want to like take it up to 11 by throwing fire into the situation rather than just poles.
Right.
So I do feel like they definitely need like they deserve credit for that end fight, because that's always a really memorable fight, because it is just fires everywhere.
Fire poles.
It's like two Iron Monkeys and Iron Robium.
Hmm. I thought it was a quite cheap shot by the Iron Monkeys, because it's like they couldn't have beat them on the ground, so they turned it to the fucking the pole.
Mm-hmm. They're not taking it to the streets.
Huh? No, to the pole.
I know.
Motherfucker. Streets.
That's where they lose.
Oh. They lose on the streets.
But, yep, I should actually look up to see if there is any awards.
How did you know?
I did not look this one up, but regarding the internet's response, Rotten Tomatoes, this one's actually been rated, and it's been given 90% fresh.
90?
Yes.
Oh, that's good.
And that is based on 82 fresh reviews and 9 rotten.
9 rotten.
So, it's been a while since I've actually had a film that's been rated.
Yeah.
And when it comes to the internet movie databases, 7.5 out of 10 based on 9,700 votes.
Oh.
So that is quite a lot of votes as well.
Yeah.
I think basically it must have got a huge boost with
Americans.
Aye, essentially Quentin Tarantino giving it that boost.
Yeah.
Like, basically
having his name behind it.
Aye, taking it to America.
Aye.
And it was nominated for Best Action back in 1994. The action choreography team basically consists of mostly like the Yin clan, Yin Wuping, Yin Cheng Yan, and Yin Chun Yi. Yin Chun Yi is also Master Fox, the police chief.
Oh, was he?
That was one of Yin Wuping's brothers.
Oh, nice.
So yes, nominated. It lucked out. Never got anything out of it that year. I reckon if this was the year for Downtown. Well, this was 93, so the awards was for 94.
Right.
So that year, it lost out to Legend of Fong Saiyuk, Corey Yin and Yin Tak still at that year.
Yeah. What awards were these, did you say that?
Hong Kong Film Awards.
Right. Did it get any nominations from America?
I think it could have. Let's look that one back up. It was nominated for a Taurus Awards at the World Stunt Awards in 2002. Best Fight, Donnie Yen.
Huh?
Martial arts fight scene with kidnappers, including weapons and wire work.
Huh. Fail?
Yeah, didn't win.
What won that?
Let's see, World Stunt Awards.
What year?
2002, after its American release. It lost out to Rush Hour 2.
Oh no!
For the fight scene in the massage parlor. Oh well.
Yeah.
It was either that or Planet of the Apes.
What?
The Mummy Returns and 15 Minutes.
15 Minutes?
Unique fight in a New York apartment with Robert De Niro's character is tied to a chair as he battles his two captors.
Okay.
I'm just going to close the window on that one.
Yeah, no interest in that.
Mm. So that is our coverage on the Iron Monkey and essentially our Once Upon a Time in China series.
Yeah.
So I guess the only thing we could come up with now is the availability of the movies.
Yeah.
Once Upon a Time in China and America is still available on Amazon for the price of 80 pence.
80 pence?
Yep, people are now selling it.
That is a bargain.
Second hand, of course. Basically, next to nothing.
Yeah.
Like, I think when it's second hand on Amazon, they throw in a pound or two for postage.
Yeah.
But still.
Less than a fiver,
exactly. And it is. The movie's worth it.
Aye.
For that amount, at least.
Aye.
And Iron Monkey, you're spoiled. You're spoiled with the amount of copies of Iron Monkey. For the Platinum Edition, the CineAsia's reprint from last year is now £13.
Aye.
A wee bit steep.
Yeah.
The you can still buy the original Hong Kong Legends Platinum release at £29.
Ooh.
Or in the same column, you could buy it used for £1.
Aye.
So,
fucking hell.
Or you could buy the very original one disc Hong Kong Legend DVD from their initial 2001 release, and that's only £4. So,
yeah.
Aye.
Oh.
So, just buy the Platinum Edition second hand for a quid.
Yeah.
Two discs, £1.
Is the Blu-ray, is that being released there here, or is that just the US?
I think that is just the US one. There doesn't seem to be. When CineAsia were re-releasing the Hong Kong Legends back catalogue, I don't think they've done many or even any in Blu-ray.
Oh, right.
They just repackaged the DVDs, added a name to the top of it and shipped them.
Shipped it.
So they were more or less just doing their own catalogue in Blu-ray.
Yeah.
So, but I'm guessing, as you said, it was released quite early in Blu-ray in America.
2009 it said.
Mm-hmm. And that's like the black cover with the Iron Monkeys on it, I think. With the black, with like the red circle and him jumping out it,
uh-huh.
I think. So, that is your availability on today's movies.
Yep.
And I guess that's it. That is our Once Upon a Time in China coverage covered.
Covered.
Mm-hmm.
Done.
4 weeks, 6 movies.
4 weeks. I'm just repeating it. I think you're a fucker. It's been the longest time.
It's not been done in one day. It's been done across 4 weeks.
It's been like fucking 24 hours.
Two retakes.
Two retakes.
So
that was too much.
But other than that, obviously next week we'll be going back to our new, our original format of the Asian and a Caucasian.
Yeah.
With our Kim Ji Woon double bell.
White and yellow.
Oh no!
Come on! Why can we become white and them not yellow? I don't understand.
Just let go of it.
Okay.
So yes, we'll be covering Kim Ji Woon's The Last Stand, starring Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Yeah.
And the good, the bad, and the weird, the Korean Western.
Korean Western.
Yes.
It doesn't make sense. They're in the East.
That's why it's original.
Yes.
And interesting. So, if you've got show suggestions, drop us an email, podcastonfire@googlemail.com. Leave a message on our wall at podcastonfire. Nope, that's not it. Facebook.com. Shut up. Facebook.com/POF network. You son of a bitch.
There's no fucking written dude, because
I'm not going to written dude. There's nothing.
You're a beast.
You may as well even just twat us a tweet on Twitter as well.
Dude,
aye.
Fucking dick.
Shove us a tweet in our dirty Twitter holes.
That's fucking
DM us. Direct message. Get right in with that deep direct message.
DP. DP or DM.
Stop filling with a box.
But fucking chewing gum wrapped in paper.
Aye, stop playing with your chewing gum. Are you fucking 10?
Fucking eat it.
So yes, twat us a tweet on Twitter with your movie suggestions and rate us on iTunes. I can't say anything else because this cunt's about to go fucking mental.
I'm gonna fucking flip this table.
Right, fillet and berate us.
Oh, you fucking fucking scumbag.
And for any other information, just look us up on podcastonfire.com.
Aye.
I've been your host for this series. I'm Stuart Sutherland.
I'm not telling you.
You're not telling us.
He's got a fucking gun in my head.
Tell us.
Okay. Andy Walker. Do you hit me?
Shut your pussy.
You're a fucking... Do you hit me?
I stopped myself from hitting you because I thought I had the mic in my hands. Oh no, that's expensive. I just thought you were fragile faced.